Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 682. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is probably somewhere nearby. He's probably going to start attacking me, because this is normally the time I clean the litter box, brush him, and then give him some treats. But he's going to be pissed off because I'm doing it late. I was trying to fuck around on my PC. I had to, I had to update some shit to be able to, like, play Call of Duty. Some security measures, go through the BIOS and bullshit. And I was looking at VR porn. I mean, there was multiple things going on. I had some VR porn. You know, I had to work today. But this is the last Saturday I have to work because I'm recording this on Saturday. I thought about pushing it off into tomorrow, doing it Sunday morning. But, you know, I wanted to try to get it done, try to bust it out. Here I am on Saturday. And this is the last Saturday I'm going to have to work for a while because I am, as of recording this, 14 days out from going to Deutschland. Yes, Germany. Jawohl. Das ist sehr gut. And just coincidentally, the way I scheduled the vacation, I won't have to work another Saturday because at work we work when it's mandatory overtime all the time, which it is. It's kind of a shit show going on there right now. There seems to be no end in sight in overtime at the moment. They can only work us two Saturdays in a row. Once they do that, then they have to give us the following Saturday off. And then they can work us two again and then one off. So, coincidentally, the way I scheduled the vacation, luckily, I'm off next week on Saturday because we've worked our two in a row now. I'm off next Saturday. And then the following weekend, I would have had to work it, but I took a no point, no pay for that Saturday. Because that is the day leaving for Germany. And so because of that, if you schedule vacation for the Friday before that Saturday, you're automatically off that Saturday. You don't have to schedule anything. So then the next Saturday, because I'm off that Friday, I will be in Germany. I won't have to work that Saturday either, because that's good, because I won't get back into St. Louis until like 7:30 p.m. So it wouldn't really exactly work out if I had to work that day. So that's like three Saturdays in a row off right there. And then unless they switch for some reason, decide to give them another Saturday off while I'm not there, I should be able to be off four in a row, because the next Saturday I would come back, they would have already worked two Saturdays without me. So theoretically, I'll have four Saturdays off in a row. But they could decide not to schedule one of those Saturdays for some weird reason. I highly doubt it. I highly doubt that. I think it's pretty much guaranteed. That there will be working those two Saturdays while I am overseas. I don't think, as of right now, not planning on doing a will roulette. I haven't figured out who's going to drive me to the airport yet. I want to figure that out tomorrow. Get that figured out. Got a couple options. People that I think might do it. I'm going to reach out to some peeps. And I'm pretty sure Megan's going to be looking after Agent Fox Mulder. I feel real bad about leaving him for a week. Though, you know, the hotel we are staying in is pet friendly, but I don't think it'd be a great idea to travel with Agent Fox Mulder. That would be a nightmare. And then I'd have to have like a, you know, a litter box in the hotel room. And I don't think they're that pet friendly. You know what I'm saying? Man, he would not. He would get so stressed out. I don't know that he'd make it through. You know, unrelated note to the traveling. Speaking of Agent Fox Mulder, the other night I was wrapping a present for Jackman's son Marcellus, whose birthday is, was it the shit offhand? It's September 26th. Which, what is that? That's the Friday before I leave. So I figured I'd stop by there and give him. I make a point to stop by on all their birthdays. And I, you know, I want to stop by before I leave and drop that. I got him. I feel pretty confident he's not going to listen to this. So he's gotten into playing guitar and such. And so I, you know, with the death of one Ozzy Osbourne, you know, the legend. I thought it'd be a good thing for him to get into some fucking Black Sabbath. So I got him Paranoid, the album, the second Black Sabbath album on vinyl. And I was wrapping it, I don't know, it was like Thursday night, Wednesday or Thursday. I'll say it was Thursday. Regardless, I was wrapping it at, you know, my wonderful epoxy table, that the lava epoxy table. And I wasn't really paying attention to what Mr. Fox there was doing, but he was over on the countertop by the popcorn machine, pretty far away from the table, I might add. Here I am just wrapping this gift, not paying attention to what he's doing, and he jumped pretty fucking far onto the table. And it's a nice smooth surface. He slid across the whole table. He started clawing with his front claws into the table and did put quite a nice couple of scratches in it, unfortunately. But the worst part was, like, he didn't stop himself, and he actually tore a couple of his claws out and then proceeded to slide completely off the table. I mean, it happened so fast, I couldn't, like, grab a hold of him. He slid right off the table and then didn't catch himself. You know, he is missing a leg, one of his front legs. And had he had that other leg, he probably wouldn't have, this probably wouldn't have been an issue. But he just had too much force in those hind legs and then couldn't catch himself on the table and slid right off the table, hit the floor, and, you know, didn't land on his feet, really. I mean, it was, I felt really bad. You know, I checked on him. I did see the table, the scratches in the table. I'll get over that. But you know, I had to check to make sure he was all right. He was, he appeared to be fine. But man, he was not, he was kind of freaked out over it. He was not having a good day. It was a rough day. He didn't fuck with the present either. He didn't hit the wrapping paper. Which I have this Evil Dead 2 wrapping paper that's really sweet, by the way. Fun fact. but yeah, it was, he was, it was a night. He did also claw me on his way down. I was like in the middle of fucking wrapping this thing and like taping it up and like holding the thing down, not paying attention to him. Again, I felt bad that I wasn't able to, like, catch him or anything, and he just slid. I mean, it didn't look like it felt great. He did not appear to be injured, though. I don't think we're going to have to amputate another leg. That's going to be a nightmare. You know, that would be horrible. Then I'm going to have to, like, push him around in a cart or something. I'm not sure exactly how that would work. I'm going to maybe, I don't know, quit my job and then just nurse Fox every day. Is there government benefits for that? Is there some kind of... I know they have things for taking care of your relatives, but what about your cat that only has two legs? Is that a thing? I doubt it. I guess we'd have to do, you know, some kind of Patreon or something, and then just stream. Just do streaming, and if people want to contribute, go to. It's like, watch my two-legged cat here. Watch me take care of him here. Oh, he's got a shit. And hold on. Let me hold him up, and then just wipe his ass. Oh man, that would suck. That would suck bad. Oh. And then he couldn't really get any exercise. Imagine he'd get like way overweight. You know? I'd probably have to cut his food back a little bit. I don't know how well that would work. It's not gonna work good. I know that. What am I saying? I know how it's gonna be. It's gonna be horrible. We gotta keep him healthy. So next time, if I notice it, that, well, one, I don't preferably like it when he gets on the countertop, so I still try to get him down, even though he just does not give a fuck, that I don't want him up there. He's up there. I've given up for the most part on taking him off there, but, definitely if I'm at the table and he's on the countertop, I am gonna be mindful and take him off the countertop. I don't mind if he gets up on the table, but jumping on it and, flying off, that's not good. It's not good, homie. It's not good. Don't want you to hurt any of your remaining good legs. That being said, I have, started gearing up a little bit more for Oktoberfest. I watched Beer Fest on, on Amazon Prime. Hadn't seen that in many, many years. I saw that originally when it came out in the theater, because I'm old as fuck. That came out in 2006. Beer Fest definitely has its moments, but it's like watching it back now and realizing, like, man, they had a very low budget for this movie, and it kind of takes me out of a little bit. there's a lot of it that just doesn't age well. I think it's just me as an older man, an old fuck, the 44, that just doesn't play as well anymore. Like the frat boy humor, which was never like, honestly, I was never real big on. I love me some Super Troopers and whatnot, and I do love, the Broken Lizard, a lot of the Broken Lizard stuff, but there's some frat boy humor is, just a little bit too much for me. Always never been like real huge into it. Like American Pie and whatnot. That one I never got real big into. I know it was huge when I was just becoming an adult. It was about the time that came out. And, of the age for that to be big. But and my friends were really into it. I could have really cared less. I guess it had its moments and whatnot, but, Beer Fest definitely has some, classic moments. But the beginning's really the part that kind of takes me out of it now, especially since I've been to Germany. And that's when it really shows that it's got a low budget, because they recreate Oktoberfest in there, and it's clearly not at Oktoberfest in Munich, but it's supposed to be, and they're in a tent of what's supposed to be an Oktoberfest tent, and in Munich, and it's clearly this tiny little tent, or they didn't, they did not do a very good job of recreating it. It's on in some some studio lot, I presume, somewhere. Or maybe they just threw it. I'm pretty sure films in the U.S. They have, some shots that are not of Oktoberfest that are, well, I think they might have some B-roll, but I think they use just stock footage of Munich. I don't think they filmed. I haven't, researched it, gone online to find out for certain, but I'm pretty sure that they just had stock footage of Munich that they threw in there, like, we are in Germany. I don't know, maybe the crew, those guys seem like they really like to party in real life. They may have taken a trip to Munich and then just, you know, spend a day just filming little parts of Munich. But if they did that, then, you know, why wouldn't they have just like filmed themselves actually in Munich? But I don't know what the laws are on, you know, filming things in Munich there. You know, I feel like it might be different now since everybody has, you know, cameras on their phones. Which, side note, I am getting a new phone for the journey. It was time for me to upgrade anyway. I could get the upgrade, which there's really no reason for me like to have an upgrade other than the fact that the speaker in this phone that I'm using is not great. So I decided, well, I'd mentioned before in the podcast that I'd, you know, a couple months ago, it's been a while that my speaker's been fucked up. Like, it works, but if you turn the volume all the way up, it gets crackly and just like the audio turns to real shit. And I watch a lot of videos on my phone, so I'm constantly just not turning the volume all the way up on my phone. It's pretty annoying. But I had ordered a actual replacement speaker, which wasn't a lot of money. And I ordered the stuff to like take my phone apart and then swap it out. But Agent Mulder here is, I guess, under the couch behind me attacking his toy. That makes bird noises. Anyway. It was... where was I going with any of this? yeah. Yeah, I totally lost what I was talking about as I was getting alerts on my phone that were complete... Oh, yeah, the phone. Yeah. I wasn't feeling real great about taking the phone apart, and it would require some soldering, which, you know, I've soldered, you know, I do MIG welding every day, which is a bit different than soldering, but I guess sort of the same concept. But I don't really solder. I've soldered a few things, you know, I've done it to, in one of my guitars, I've done some soldering too. I guess two of my guitars. One was just a my old Strat that I had a ground wire come off, and I resoldered that. And I used the wrong solder. I think that kind of fucked it up because it's, I mean, you get a little bit of a hum, and I don't really notice it though. It's kind of just a loud pickups anyway in that one. But I didn't feel real comfortable swapping that speaker out. But I didn't really want a new you know, stuff added to my bill with the phone. But I turning this current phone I have in, and I actually am upgrading slightly early. It's a little early, but I had a thing that I could do it early, and I had the choice of continuing to do like the early upgrade to be eligible for an early upgrade. I guess it hadn't been quite the 2 years, but it's got to be close because it was like near, I mean, I don't know how far off I was. I think it was just a few months. anyway... I had the choice to pay the phone off in its entirety of where it was at, which wasn't a lot, and to pay the sales tax on the new phone, and then doing that, my bill should go down quite a bit, but it was a couple hundred bucks, you know, I had to pay, or several hundred bucks, rather, with the sales tax was over $100. I did get the iPhone Max, or 17 Pro Max, or whatever. I don't have it yet. It's like it was just released yesterday, I guess. They haven't gotten the phones in, so I actually am having it delivered. They say it should take a week, so I should get it before Germany. Which reminds me, fuck, I need to order a case for the damn thing off Amazon. I don't want to pay for the cases that they have at the AT&T store. They're kind of pricey. But I should have a new phone. And it'll have a better camera, which my camera's fine enough on this phone, honestly. It's just really the speaker. And I was thinking, though, like, man, if I'm going to watch videos late at night, which I don't know. I don't know that I will, seeing that I won't be by myself this time. Before, you know, I was by myself late at night at the hotel. I would, I didn't have anything to entertain myself. So I would, pull up some vids on the phone and watch stuff off there. But anywho. Which I might still do. I might just pull some headphones since, you know, I don't know what John and I will be doing late at night. I don't imagine we're going to be at the hotel room a whole lot, you know, though. It'll only be late at night. Who knows? You know, he might pick up some lady and then I might have to, like, skedaddle or something, or just, you know, hunker in the corner, just hide, and then, you know, put some headphones in and watch some YouTube videos or Netflix. What's the great thing about being overseas, you get totally different selections on movies and TV shows on all the streaming services. So I'll pull up my accounts on Disney Plus or what have you, Netflix, and I'll get totally different options. It'll be interesting. Which, side note, not only was I watching Oktoberfest, which does still have some very classic moments in it. I did also, while I was watching it, I did have some German beer. I had the Paulaner, which I'd never had before. But it was awfully tasty. I don't remember which. I don't have it in front of me. I don't remember what actual Paulaner wanted beer it is. Bier! Sorry, I mispronounced it. Bier! Anyway. I did partake in some drinking while watching Beer Fest. There, the things, like, I think some of the humor might not hit as much now. Though maybe yes, maybe no, is that at the time it came out, again, 19 years ago it came out, we didn't have smartphones. And social media, there wasn't much of that going around. And Americans' idea of Germany, they just knew basically stereotypes and whatnot. And, you know, and World War II, they knew Hitler. But they knew, you know, Lederhosen and Dirndls and whatnot. And, you know, even then, I guess I knew some people that had traveled to Germany. But the internet and everything wasn't quite what it is today. Like, now you can just easily jump on YouTube and see Munich. You can see Oktoberfest in Munich. And you can see it on, you know, Instagram. People live, you know, streaming it. And whatnot, and they have a better idea of what's actually going on, whereas it's not the most accurate thing in Beer Fest, but, you know, it's a comedy. I don't know if I imagine there'll be a lot of people to watch and be like, that's just not how it goes. I think I better, like, clean Mr. Fox's litter box, because he is starting to attack me now. And I'll have to come back to this. I'll have to clean his litter box and do the brushing and whatnot to perhaps save my legs. So I'll have to hold this thought. I talked about Beer Fest. I'm going to talk about some more German shows. Note to self, Josh. Talk about the German shows that you've been watching. And then, yeah, I'll be right back. And I'm back. It's like I was never gone. Never gone. Hopefully I can make that with Mr. Fox when I, Agent Fox Mulder, when I go abroad and come back. Hopefully I can make it seem like I was never gone. I'm thinking he's going to notice, though. Unfortunately. Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure he's going to notice. as yeah, I was going to talk about German TV shows that I was pulling up. I was looking up stuff on Amazon Prime as well as Netflix. I did start watching Downfall again, but I'd seen that many years ago. It's, of course, the film came out about the same time as, I believe, Beerfest, maybe like 2 years before it or so. I'm not sure of the exact year, but I know it was like over 20 years ago or 20 years-ish. I want to say it was 2004, but I could be wrong. It is about the final days of Adolf Hitler inside the Führer bunker. You know what? I'd seen it before, and I guess I just wasn't feeling Hitler, man. I guess I wasn't feeling Hitler. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm done. I did finish going back through all of Netflix's Dark, which is a great German television show, massive budget. It's sci-fi, of course. I believe I've talked about it several times recently. On here. There's a place, I think it's considered like a black hole thing that's created, this nuclear power plant that creates time travel. Then you find out what actually like causes it later on. And then there's actually a bit of alternate universe things going on with multiple worlds. There's like three different worlds, you find out. But the actors are very, very well cast, and they have three actors for almost every fucking character, and they did a really great job in that series, finding actors that resembled and acted like their other selves. Because like when they time travel, it's within like 33-year increments, so... they'll have like three different people from like the 50s, 80s, and current day, which at the time is supposed to be 2019, but I believe it was initially filmed in 2017 or 2016-ish, somewhere in there. Great show. I tend to, you know, it is a great show. It follows, I guess it's supposed to be a bootstrap paradox, as they were calling it in the film, talking about quantum physics and what have you. There's some parts where it's like, okay, this is a bit contrived, like a bit much and stuff, like... Find hard to believe parts of it, but you know, whatever. It's really well acted. Great voices. I'm watching all these shows in German, these German shows, and with subtitles because I don't know German that well. Ich verstehe ein bisschen Deutsch, which is I understand a little German, not enough German to carry on conversations and what have you. But yes, after getting through Dark, I needed to find some other series, and Downfall was not, you know, it's just a movie anyway, it's not that long. I needed something with some length, some girth to it, you know, some width, some, something that was going to last a bit more than just a couple of nights, or just like one night. And so... I did find one on Amazon Prime that's, I want to say, Deutschland 83. It's not bad. It's a good show. I wanted something different, though. I knew there were several options for me to go through. I don't know, I watched several episodes. It's not bad. I'll probably at some point go back to it. It takes place in, obviously, Germany in 1983. This is, of course, when Berlin was split in half with the Berlin Wall there, where you had the Western Berlin and then Eastern Berlin. Of course, Eastern Berlin was controlled by the Soviet Union. And the West was, initially, which would, I, my recollections of exact years in history. I want to say the Berlin Wall went up in the 1960s, but perhaps it was the 50s. I don't recall when it was initially erected, if you will. But in 1983, of course, the Berlin Wall had been there for at least a couple decades at that point. And there was, you know, some hostilities. It was the Cold War, the height of the Cold War. And Deutschland 83 revolves around a East German soldier who ends up being coerced into spying on West Germany. He is forced to go to West Germany and pretend to be a soldier that is already, he's assuming the identity of a different soldier. I don't recall if they mentioned, because I've only seen a few episodes. I don't know what happened to the actual soldier that he's assuming the identity of. I think maybe they say, but I don't recall. But of course he's bugging the he's working in a general's office, and they are in talks with U.S. generals about putting nuclear weapons in West Germany. And so he's bugging the offices and like hotel rooms and trying to get, you know, all these secret classified files over to the East. And it's not a bad show. Again, I just wanted to see what else was out there. And I feel like I really found a good one. On, of course, Netflix, they have, which they, you know, that's where I found previously, like, really good German shows. Babylon Berlin, I've talked about fairly recently, where I, of course, I had watched that before going back to Dark. I had watched the latest season of Babylon Berlin, and I wasn't real happy. Like, I enjoyed, like, I thought the first two seasons of Babylon Berlin were really good, but I wasn't too crazy about, like, where it was going. I feel like they kind of lost their mojo. But it's still, like, a decent series. Worth a watch. You know, if you're trying to learn some German, some Deutsch, it's good to have some good entertainment wise. I feel like it's helped me with you know, remembering, because I'm using the Rosetta Stone app right now, and it's all right. I've talked about it previously, and I would have preferred to use the Babel. I thought that was much better, but I had already paid for a couple of months to use the Rosetta Stone, so I'm still using that. And but yeah, I found Cleo on Netflix. Like, here's the synopsis they give you on IMDb on Cleo. It's after the fall of the Berlin Wall, a former spy killer is set free and embarks on a revenge spree against the people who conspired to betray her. So it starts out, Cleo, who is the main character. She is, it starts out in Eastern Germany during the Cold War, but it's like the end of the Cold War. It's not 1983. It's, she starts out and, she goes, like, the first episode, I mean, I really enjoy it so far. I'm like two, maybe three episodes into this one. It's two seasons out currently. I believe they are still making the show. But, Oh yeah, season 3 will premiere next year. So they are I guess probably already have it in the can. But yeah, the first episode you follow her and you get the impression like she goes and kills this fella in a club. Spoiler alert. And she works, she's like, you know, this badass assassin. And then, which she just like is like in a, you know, party dress. She's just appearing to be a patron at the bar and then proceeds to try to thirst trap this fella that she's going to kill. I have no, you know, there's no details other than she goes into West Germany. She goes underneath the Berlin Wall and through the sewers and then goes into West Germany from East Germany from, or well, West Berlin from East Berlin, if you will. And I don't believe they gave you any, give you any information on who this target is that she kills, but she takes this fella into the bathroom like, oh yeah, he's, you know, he's all thirsty. He's a thirsty boy. He wants to fuck her. And, she proceeds to pull out, I guess, a mirror and a razor blade and what would appear to be cocaine. But apparently it's some bad shit that she gave him and he immediately ODs. You know, he dies from it and he's, you know, bleeding from the nose and it seems that he's immediately snorting this shit and... Then, of course, she goes back over to East Germany, or East Berlin, rather, from that. And it was... That was basically the only mission so far, at least in the first couple of... she's definitely still killing people. But as far as as far as like the missions, I guess she's doing for the Soviet Union, if you will. Although I don't know, she might still stay an agent after that. I'm not really sure. But what happens? She does this one hit, goes back to her home in East Berlin, and then she proceeds to. They put her in jail for unrelated charges. They, she doesn't even know why she's thrown in jail. Which it wasn't for murder. I don't think they exactly say either. I guess eventually you find out why she was thrown in jail, but, she was betrayed, I guess, by, cause she's working as an agent. This is, you know, she's basically, you know, an MI6 agent, but you know, for the Stasi government, if you will, the Eastern Berlin is, I don't know, the hit squad. I mean, she's obviously that. But she's working as an assassin for, you know, the government there in Eastern Berlin. And it would appear the government just, like, totally betrayed her, the people inside there. And I, again, I haven't made it that far, so I don't know where, how far it goes up the ladder, but... basically, after she goes to prison, she's in there for 3 years, and she gets out only because the Berlin Wall falls, and then Germany is reunited, and so it's all Western Berlin, you know, it's all West now. There is no more Stasi government. It is Soviet Union has no control over, well, I mean, that's the collapse of the Soviet Union right there as well. And so then now all the political prisoners, basically, all the, I guess, pretty much most of the prisoners in East Berlin are let go, and she's out of jail. And so she's then proceeding to find out who all fucked her by throwing her ass in jail, and... she's out for revenge, and it's pretty entertaining so far. I would definitely rate it higher than the Deutschland 83. I think it's a good watch, even if, you know, you're just for just a show in general, even if you're not just looking for, you know, a German show to watch. You know, I'd say that as well as like Dark. I mean, these are entertaining shows. I imagine you can dub that one in English if you want to. I hate watching dub things, though. I'd rather watch stuff, even if it's a show where I'm not trying to learn the language, like watching Squid Game. I'm not dubbing that, you know. I want to hear the actual actors saying the lines. Although when I was a kid, I did really love like Godzilla. Like if it's a comedy, it might be a different situation. Like it's kind of part of the fun. Like I loved watching the old Godzilla movies, you know, the old black and white ones and what have you, when I was a kid. And I enjoyed the fact that you would see their mouths move way after they stopped talking. I found it very entertaining. But it takes me out of it, like, if it's, like, a serious thing. I don't want to dub, like, it really bugs me. I think that seeing the audio and the video not synced up properly, like, even if it is the original language, the original voice, it fucks with me a little bit. So, trying to watch something that's dubbed is like, oh, they better try to match up with the mouth movements of the actor, at least, and time it out, because that shit fucks with my brain. I don't like it. I don't like it, sir. So I'm gonna watch. You know, if I'm gonna watch a foreign thing, I'm gonna watch it with the subtitles, which does make it a little bit more difficult for me to watch it at certain times. Like if I'm eating a meal, like I often watch movies or TV shows while I'm eating. And a lot of times, you know, I'm eating at the table that Fox just scratched up and slid across. But it's a little hard to do that if I'm watching something where I have to read the subtitles, because I can't exactly look at my food and just kind of... I have to watch and there's a little bit more concentration that is involved when reading subtitles. So I don't end up doing that while I'm eating, usually. Although sometimes I will eat at the couch if I grab a plate, and depends on what it is. Depends on what I'm eating. If it's something I'm afraid I'm going to get a little messy with, I'm going to prefer to eat it at the table. I spent a lot of money on that table. I love the table. I want to do all kinds of stuff on that table. I want to spend time with my table. I would definitely just suggest, of course, I've only seen a couple episodes. Cleo just seems like a really great show. But I'm getting called for Call of Duty, but I let them know. I'm hoping that I won't have to reinstall everything and they need other players. There's a just a long pause. But they need two more peeps to round out the squad. But I'm still in the middle of this, and I got to figure out, you know, I've been kind of looking at this website a little bit here, this happytowander.com. It's got guides on Oktoberfest and, you know, basically all kinds of Oktoberfest stuff. I think there's more than just Oktoberfest. It's got multiple destinations and what have you, but there is plenty of stuff, it looks like, on Oktoberfest. This was from April 30th of 2022. Article: what to eat at Oktoberfest, the best and worst of Oktoberfest cuisine. Yes, I love the worst, yeah. Which, man, I am excited for food. German food. Oh, give me all the worst, yeah. Here she has to say here, I don't know that her name is the woman that appears that wrote. Oh, her name is Christina. It says, "Welcome. My name is Christina. I'm a clumsy Canadian. Sweet. I love Canadians. Who is obsessed with seeing the world when I'm not frolicking abroad. You'll likely find me face planting into burrito bowls and doing important work in my Monsters Incorporated onesie. New to the blog and my very lame jokes, click here to visit my Start Here page." I'm going to skip the Start Here page. I just briefly looked over this. I know I said I'd been checking into this. I briefly looked at this website before starting my podcast. I didn't go to the Start Here page. It says here, "While beer may be the highlight of Oktoberfest, I have to say, if you leave without sampling Oktoberfest food, you have done it all wrong." Wrong! Why? Well, without exaggerating, Oktoberfest food is some of the most satisfying, indulgent grub you'll ever experience. I love to hear that. I want an experience that I will never forget. All the better when used to absorb the little literal liters of beer sitting in your stomach. I mean, it's by no means cheap. Most entrees will be in the 15 to 20 euro range. But the food choice at Oktoberfest is staggering. Besides a bunch of food stalls outside the tents, each tent has a food menu, and there are even some tents solely dedicated to special foods. So all that totals up to mean, yes, there is amazing Oktoberfest food to be had. Here are a few highlights and basics musts to know before you visit Oktoberfest for yourself. Excuse the blurry photographer. Clearly taking nice photos is not a high priority for tipsy Christina, which you can't see that in audio form. Here we go. I don't want to know Oktoberfest foods to make it home. Damn it. Number one, half roast chicken. Oh, man, some of these baguettes look pretty amazing. Oh, there's like this fish with what appears to be like, that doesn't look so good on the baguette. There's like a baguette with it's even got like the fucking skin still left on the fish. That doesn't look appealing. Says, "Trust me when I say there is no joy greater than ripping at a roast chicken with your fingers after a few liters of beer." Unsurprisingly, of all the food served at Oktoberfest in Munich, half roast chickens are among the most common. You'll see servers peddling these out like clockwork at all hours of the festival with mountains of greasy plates and napkins as evidence. Best consumed after a few beers when you start feeling a little peckish. A Händel is a must try at Oktoberfest. Yeah. And I gotta say, it's not like the stuff you'd see like at a Schnucks here in the States or a Walmart or something. Like they have the roast. Like, you can get the, it's where it really looks like overcooked. This looks really juicy, and looks like they seasoned it well. I mean, it looks like it's probably some pretty moist chicken. Here's my jam. I have had this at Belleville had their Hofbräuhaus there. I had this, and it's my Jimmy Jam. I gotta say, it's my Jimmy Jam. I don't know if this is my favorite German food, but it is the roasted pork knuckle, which in German would be the Schweinehaxen. Truly one of the most beautiful meals on this earth, and a real Bavarian classic is Schweinehaxe, or Schweinehaxen. Oh, it's got the potato dumplings. Regular words are insufficient to describe the joy of devouring a roasted pork knuckle served in a pool of gravy, so you better just try it for yourself. Usually served with a delightful noodle, a boiled dumpling that has a really weird but addictive chewy texture. And it looks like testicles. What in this picture, these potato dumplings that just look like fucking testicles. They are fucking good. FYI, if you don't like crispy skin and just prefer juicy slabs of meat, see if they have Schweinsbraten. Instead, they're like pork chops soaked in gravy. It's pretty much the same meat, but without the huge slice of crackly skin. I might have to try that. The Schweinsbraten. And then we got the sugary roasted almonds, aka gebraten or gebrannte mandeln. These are like Oktoberfest version of crack. They are so ridiculously addictive and delicious. I don't know. I'm not big on almonds. I know when I walked through Munich, they had like roasted pecans and stuff. I'm down for some pecans. Put those nuts in my mouth. You know what I'm saying? Says you can catch the smell from a mile away. While they're more of a Christmas market treat, they are amazing to have while walking around slash scoping out the different stalls. And then there's four is sausages galore. Welcome to Bavaria, where sausages are important. That's all of Germany. There's, from my understanding, over 1,000 versions of Wurst in Deutschland. It says, as they say, the food in Germany is the Wurst, which isn't technically wrong. Oh, man, this is fantastic. Outside the Augustiner Braugarten, they have this picture of the old man in Lederhosen with a massive Wurst, like hanging out like it's his dick. Yeah. Bratwurst, Getränk, and Grillfleisch. This is what all they have there. So you get your drink on, some Bratwurst, yeah? Anyway, you can't go wrong with ordering sausages at Oktoberfest, but there are a few that you should definitely keep an eye out for, such as Weisswurst and Currywurst. I've had Weisswurst, and I gotta say, I felt like it. I'll try it again there. Again, you know, I hope to just. I'm going to put in all kinds of Wurst in my mouth, you know. I'm going to be down in all kinds of Wurst. But I find that Weisswurst just tastes the way I had it there, which I'm pretty sure I had it there. I know I had it in Belleville at least too. But I feel like it just tastes like a regular hot dog. And I'm not really crazy about regular hot dogs. But it says number five is Weisswurst. Currywurst is good too. I'm going to throw down some currywurst. Yeah. But I mean, sure, it's not the most photogenic food in the world, but it's a Bavarian classic typically consumed at breakfast with some sweet mustard. Sweet mustard is the shit. Pretzel and wheat beer. Yeah. And damn delicious too. It is a bit of an acquired taste, but if you can get over the sort of weird appearance texture, you're in for a treat. Important is a huge faux pas to serve Weisswurst afternoon, so be sure to enjoy this in the morning if you want it. It's the perfect way to kick off your day in Munich. Also, remember the skin must be removed before eating. There are a few proper ways to do this, but the easiest, in my opinion, is making a cut along the sausage lengthwise, then peeling the skin off. I did take the skin off before I did it. Number six is Currywurst. I recommend that. I mean, not Bavarian, but seriously so good, and usually one of the cheaper offerings on the menu when the tent offers it. This beloved snack is not a traditional Oktoberfest food, but most tents now offer it, and it's one of my personal favorites. It is a simple sausage doused in curry ketchup and curry powder, usually served with a hot pile of fries. It's not fancy by any means, but it does the job deliciously. I am down for that shit. Pretzels is number seven, aka Bretzel. An Oktoberfest classic, foamy beers and salt-studded pretzels are among the most stereotypical images of Germany, though for good reason they go damn well together. Don't bother getting the small pretzels. You want one of the really big ones so you can slowly peck away at it while you down your beer. It's nice to get a few to share. Trust me, once it's on the table, everyone will be having just a little piece till there's none left. This is why I have trust issues. And another, number eight, is the Kassaspätzle. The best way to describe this is like a Bavarian take on mac and cheese. Kassaspätzle. Kassa is cheese. And Spätzle is, I believe, you know, like a Spätzle. I want to say is, it's not really noodles, per se. I mean, it's like, I don't know how to describe it. This is one of my favorite Oktoberfest recipes to recreate at home because it's a pretty foolproof dish. Basically, Kassaspätzle consists of these amazing doughy dumplings. Oh, they're dumplings. Okay. That are covered in sharp cheeses, then topped with caramelized onions. Ooh, I'm out on the onions. Although it does look pretty good. I mean, I'm okay with like onion rings, so maybe I'd be down for it. It is simply one of the best comfort foods and hangover cures in existence. Also one of the few classically Bavarian dishes that are vegetarian friendly. I mean, yeah, just those onions look like, they're like fried onions like that. That I'm okay with. Number nine is Kaiserschmarrn. Speaking of comfort foods, you need to get some Kaiserschmarrn for dessert. It's like a cozy hug for your taste buds. And one of the best Oktoberfest desserts of all time. While it may be Austrian, it's still a staple delight of Oktoberfest and a real must try. Essentially, it's a fluffy shredded pancake that's dusted off with powdered sugar and other fix-ins. I love it with applesauce. You can get it at the Café Kaiserschmarrn, which is one that looks like a giant gingerbread castle filled with whimsy and sweet delights. It looks like a funnel cake. I get funnel cake kind of vibes, but it looks like softer than a funnel cake. It looks like part... Oh, what the fuck is... God damn it. I'm getting ads playing on this website. I don't like that. Ooh, it is. I don't know about this. Number 10 is Steckler fish. Yes, seafood is a thing in October. What the fuck? Why do I keep getting this fucking ad popping up? I hate pop-ups. It says Bavarians love roasting their fish on sticks, and this is the perfect main course to try if you want something lighter than a giant slab of meat drowned in gravy. I want a giant slab of meat drowned in gravy. I warn you, though, the smell is pungent to say the least. I'm out. I like fish, but this just does not look good. In fact, the smell of Steckler fish is one of the main reasons why the fish... Son of a bitch. Will you stop with this fucking ad? Holy fuck. I might have to exit out of this website and just call it. In fact, this... Yeah, This is one of the main reasons why the Fischer Vroni tent is one of my least favorite of all the tents at Oktoberfest. I've been told they're tasty, though. Oh, she hasn't even eaten them, but she's listing them high up on this list. What the fuck? Anyway, number 11. Dampfnudel. Which, by the way, the Stecklerfish is... it. I mean, it is the full fish. It is... there's the eyeballs. There's everything on there. Dampfnudel, though, number 11, another tasty Oktoberfest dessert you can try from Café Kaiserschmarrn is Dampfnudel. Think of it as a giant, pillowy, soft loaf of sweetbread that's served in a decadent vanilla sauce. I think I gotta hit up Café Kaiserschmarrn. It looks fucking amazing. It looks like bread pudding. It looks about like bread pudding. Looks fucking amazing. That's all I can say. It is... Anyway, sorry if you can hear the ads. They keep fucking popping up the audio on there. Number 12 is Obatzda. It doesn't look like much, but one of the tastiest Oktoberfest appetizers you can try is Obatzda, a yummy spread made of soft cheese and butter, typically consumed with a pretzel or bread, and a starring attraction on any Oktoberfest snack platter. I got some weird sound going on. I don't know what the high-pitched sound. Hopefully that's not my water heater. I don't know what it is. I'll have to check out on that here in a minute. That seems like something I might try. I might have had that before. I don't know. The Obatzda. Number 13, shrimp with garlic sauce. Down for that. Another not-so-Bavarian thing. I mean, that's a massive thing of garlic sauce, though. I don't know that I need that much garlic sauce. Ooh, here, 14 is Flammkuchen. Flammkuchen is a tasty pizza-like snack that is popular around the Alsace region of France, where it's commonly consumed en masse at all the magical Alsatian Christmas markets. Luckily for you, it's also a beloved snack at German festivals like Oktoberfest. With a crispy dough base, traditional Flammkuchen, also known as tarte flambé, slathered with crème fraîche, onions, and bacon, though other variations are pretty popular these days, too. Just looks like a pizza put on, like, pita bread. This is how I'd really suggest or describe that, if you will. And then there's Rumfleckerl. Similar to Flammkuchen is the very Bavarian snack of Rumfleckerl, which consists of a thin rye sourdough that's topped with Schmand, a thick sour cream, green onion, and bacon bits. Usually find them at one of the many stalls scattered around the Oktoberfest grounds. And they don't even have a picture of that. Roast duck, number 16. I like me some duck, which it looks pretty tasty. But that's pretty much it. I mean, I feel like the roast duck is pretty self-explanatory. I know the time I did go that one of my favorite things that I had there was the Kartoffelgurkensalat. Yeah. Which I had, that's cucumber potato salad. Kartoffel means potato. Gherkin is cucumber. And salat, of course, is salad. So it's potato cucumber salad. I guess this is the literal translation in order, but I would think it sounds better, cucumber potato salad in English. But damn, it was good. I had a lot of potato salad while I was over there. And from what I understand, each region of Germany has like their own. And I was in Bavaria pretty much the whole trip except for when I went to Salzburg. But it was when I went around the Kelstein was where it went. That area for visiting the Eagle's Nest, which was Hitler's retreat. I was more excited though because Kelstein is like you're in the German Alps. And that's really what I wanted to see. I mean, it was interesting to go up to like Hitler's retreat. You know, I did several World War II things. I of course went to Dachau concentration camp, and I did a walking tour of Munich where we saw a lot of history from World War II. And I mean, there's all kinds of World War II history, and of course Munich and Bavaria in general, and all of Germany really. But, oh man, that Kartoffelgurkensalat, yeah, delicioso. I forgot what the German word for delicious is. It's not coming to the... I know the word, but it's not there at the moment. I haven't been practicing enough food stuff. Speisekarte means menu. I remember that. I do have Google Translate. I do have most of the stuff lined up for the trip already. I got my phone stuff taken care of. I'll be able to use my phone the whole time. So Google Translate, Google Maps. I'm in there. I've got my bank stuff taken care of. Should be able to make all the purchases I need to make and what have you. So, I mean, I think I'm probably going to record at least a podcast before I leave and just like throw it up immediately. I'll probably record it that Thursday. Maybe wait till like Saturday morning to like go ahead and upload it. I don't know when I'll upload it. Maybe just immediately that Thursday. And I'm not sure if I'm going to try the weekend I get back. I don't know that I'm going to try to record one. Maybe that Sunday morning or something, because I won't get back till Saturday night. I'm going to be so jet lagged. You know, I might have to skip it. We'll see. I feel like I can try to knock one out, though, that next morning. But I'm going to have a lot of shit to do because I'm going to have to do a lot of grocery shopping because I'm not going to have any food in the house. I have to do all my laundry and what have you. So it'll be kind of screwy. We'll see how it pans out. As it is, man. I'm on the verge. I'm on the verge of going back to Europe for the first time in 6 years. It's been since 2019, since my feet have touched the ground in Europe. But that's really all I've got tonight. So, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.